Good afternoon, good morning, good evening, wherever you're listening from around the world, whatever the time is, wherever you're listening now with us live via Quinny's YouTube channel. Shout out everyone in the chat. We're back, End Product. It's been a couple of weeks off. We've had like an international break, shall we say. Yeah. I was away in Denver and you've been running around doing the usual, keeping the ship afloat at home. But it's been a minute. It's good to have you beside me once again, Quinny, and all of the listeners who are up in the chat. Welcome. We are here for episode 89 of the End Product podcast. And how are you doing, sir?
Hi, I'm very good. Sish, it has been a minute. It's been a big minute. We tried to get it together last week, I think it was, but I dropped the ball big time. You were on completing the Stish World Tour. We found you in, it was last week, wasn't it, Denver?
Week before last. So it was back last week. The week before was when I was in Denver. Sure. We were trying to see if we could figure it out across the Atlantic.
But yeah, how was Denver?
Good. Bit wavy. I think I was sending you off air. Like, you just feel like you're constantly drunk there. If anyone's ever been Denver, it's like a mile above sea level. So you're literally like at altitude there. So there's low oxygen count in your air that you breathe. And you feel it after a few days. The longest I think I've spent in Denver, normally only there for a day or two. So I was there for like three nights. And yeah, it was nice. It was good. It was a hectic few days. We had a gig every night, so that was good times. But yeah, I did actually miss the deadline on that first weekend game week while I was out there, because I had my times mixed up. So I thought I'd have till like 11 a.m. or something like that in Denver, or 10 a.m. something like that. I can't remember what it was, but whatever it was, I was an hour wrong. And when I started like going to input my teams into SoRare, it was like 1 minute past out, like 3 o'clock in the UK. So I was like, what? Luckily, I put a few teams in. They didn't do anything that weekend anyway. But yeah, I only managed to like submit about 8 lineups or something instead of about 20. Yeah. But yeah, I still managed to scrape a bit of End Product since we last spoke.
Love it.
In your fair. Got myself a little Usman Dembele win. I'm trying to look back on like how I won that. I think I had a good finish somewhere. Obviously, I think he was in the star pool. So... and that was a decent win. But other than that, yeah, a lot of tier threes, tier fours. I did have a little cheeky rare card win in the reward box this week, which was nice, because my other two rewards, one was Emil Fredriksson, who I've already won very recently. He was a card we spoke about where I've got a 3D card that's not in season. So he's got two seasons worth of 3D cards now. He must be like with the Rosenberg he plays for. So I've got a midfield and a forward card, one in season, one out of season. So trying to figure out what to do about that, whether to keep hold of him. Might be quite useful through the winter months. I say winter months, that in Norway, it's not a winter, is it? It's like this. That's their main season. It carries on through our summer break, whereas where I'm getting my words a bit mixed up. But yeah, he was not a bad win. But other than that, nothing too exciting to report about. What about yourself?
I've been on a wee... I've just noticed before coming on the show, I'm on a wee streak. FC Barcelona has hit 3 game weeks in a row where we've been picking up cards. Granted, it has been tier fours and tier threes, so nothing too exciting. If any of you got the reward opening I did on Tuesday night, I got one of the biggest trolls I think I've ever had. I won't spoil it. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out later. It'll be a bit of a giggle. It's not that long a stream or whatever, but a tier four all-star super rare, so it could be anything. But... nothing mad, Stish, to be honest with you. I've got a Norwegian guy as well. I got a Marius Broholm as well. A bit of old gold and Pablo de Blasis. And then I got a playing goalkeeper for a tier one for finishing fifth, Enzo Basilio. And it looks like his team has just missed out of being like promoted. They're like eighth or seventh or something. So he's like locked in the same division again, which is handy for, you know, that those non-champion region goalkeepers.
Yeah, like got off home back every week.
Especially good ones, you know. All sorts of stuff could happen, you know. So knowing that he's going to be in the region again, playing probably as well at 28, I thought that was nice to get in, because nondescript tier three and tier four defenders and mids especially, it's just a bit, you know, a bit lackluster, you know. So yeah. Getting a goalkeeper, it's like, fair enough. Thank you. I can use this guy a bit better or more.
I feel that. I think I managed to win a goalkeeper. I did manage to shift him. Just to get in a bit of cash. I'm overrun with goalkeepers at the moment. I've got quite a few that I don't use, and quite a lot that just sit on the bench. So they're starting to clog up my gallery a little bit. But yeah, it's getting to that time of the season, isn't it, where the holes in your gallery really start to appear, because we kind of at the moment got all of the regions in play. Europe's obviously winding down, so we're starting to get those midweeks that are a little bit less busy. So you feel like you've got a little bit more time to look, but then obviously you've got rotation to worry about, teams that maybe don't have anything left to play for. It's been really tough, hasn't it? Just picking your teams. Yeah, I don't know about you, but I'm finding it difficult, apart from like your standard kind of your top champ entry and maybe like your super rare entries, if you're like anything like me. You kind of know what they're going to be, but the rest of the lineups are anyone's guess at the moment. And I'm winning more and more cards that are kind of the card sort of cards that, you know, at the beginning of the last season we'd have been like, these would be useful for cap modes because they've got a bit of rotation in them, maybe an average of like 45, 46 that aren't realistically going to win you anything in the divisions the way that they score now. But I've got a lot of what feel like cap mode players, so they're quite useful at the moment, but come August they might not be that useful in that.
Yeah, so like the cap mode player is kind of it's kind of changed a little bit all of a sudden, hasn't it? That those guys that can't really get themselves more than 12 AA aren't really decisive capable. It's not really much of a function for them unless it is like part of the collection. Mm. Or like, and again, it depends on some of these players, how much data you've got for them. But if there's like no peaks on their chart, like then what are you, you know, what can they be useful for other than maybe next season or whatever, maybe that midweek where you need a fifth man just to get on the pitch.
Yeah.
You know, beyond that, they don't really, you know, when I look at them, I've got some of them, I'm staring right at me right now that I've just won this week, like Nabil Bentaleb, who maybe has a peak or whatever, fair enough, but just a 52 merchant, you know. Yeah. Like, where is he ever going to play for me, you know?
Yeah, it's difficult. It is difficult. Like you mentioned as well, I think this week I had one of those in Super Rare where I could have really done with a fifth man who was... I actually went on Sora Day and had a look at the pick scores just to see if there was anyone that had like an average of like 19, L15 or lower that had a fixture that I could pick a really super cheap Super Rare up, because the rest of my lineup was pretty good. But and probably a good thing I didn't go out and buy one anyway, because one of the players that I did have lined up in my four-man entry started on the bench anyway and didn't you know, score below his usual average. So I'm not expecting anything there. Yeah, I don't know about you, but the European... I had quite good lineups for like the European special this week where I've got a few PSG players and Real Madrid players and I've got Sancho at Dortmund. So I thought, yeah, I've got half-decent entry there. Obviously got a couple of Bayern players, Bayer Leverkusen players and Bayern actually as well. So... yeah, I fancied my chances. I only had one goalkeeper, so I only had the single entry. But it's not really hit for me this week. I think Harry Kane managed an assist, which is great. But he was in my all-star lineup, which has a lot of duds in it. And then on the other hand, in the game, I expected lots of goals in the Dortmund PSG game. I fancied that to be really end-to-end, lots of goals. So I had Sancho and Mbappe in both in the same team, just thinking they could both do something at either end. And yeah, they both drew a blank. So no end product realistically for me this midweek either, even though I went into it thinking I've got a shout here. Got, you know, really thin game week. You've got some of the big scorers from, you know, every day or every week usage at least on the platform. But wasn't to be for me, mate, sadly.
Yeah. Oh, I say it's midweeks have not been a happy. I got one card. Oh, I've got three game weeks in a row there, so I must have got a midweek card somewhere. Oh, yeah, that Marius Bronholm for finishing 75th in under 23. I had a five-man under 23 team, so it was kind of shooting fish in a barrel, that one. So I don't know if I'll quite get four in a row. Maybe it'll break the chain and we'll need to restart it all again. But yeah, I'm not midweeks now. It's just the fixtures that you've got. Now, Mikey Bassam is coming in there telling us we've actually got full MLS next midweek. So next midweek might be fun, you know, might be fun watching a bit of MLS action midweek. Oh, I'm sure it will be if you've got the cards to play. So, yeah, that's a good one. And, yeah, Agent Cooper makes a good point as well on the cap mode guys, let's just call them, to kind of umbrella them. And I say, like, the other part I did say there, and it's maybe a little bit overlooked there, is, like, you know, any collection element that comes into it. Now, winning them is kind of hard because it's hard to win a guy in a collection you're already building. Like, that's just absolute potluck, you know. But to tie it in with Mikey, made another point about it as well, they become trade bait, then it is kind of just card swapping, you know, for depending on, like, you can tear open any club on the platform. There's seven players there that are crap, you know, in every club, you know. And, you know, it's, sometimes it's just swapping faces on cards. And then it's like, oh, well, they make my captain 2% better now all of a sudden because I've traded a few of them about or whatever. So, but that's not enough, you know, general gameplay. You know, you want to have, like, that's one of the great things about Cap 220. It's like anyone goes into that 220 team, it feels like, hey, this team can fly. You know, it's got something going about it. We do expect there'll be underdogs or specials or whatever in the new season and the new iteration and all the rest of it. But I say, just without that kind of staple that's already in the SO5 arena like we have there now, it does feel like, where do these guys move in the market? That is only downward pressure, probably.
Yeah. As Agent Cooper mentions as well, it's like, that probably explains why so the prices are so low on like those cards. I suppose when you factor in the fact that come August, it's not entirely clear where we're going to be able to use a lot of them. They do say that, you know, that we will have special weeklies in that are likely to, in, you know, bring in cap modes and specialist modes and stuff like that. But unless you can see what you're likely to win, it's kind of, yeah, it's difficult, isn't it, to justify holding on to it? Because I feel like I've got a lot of cards like that in my gallery that I've just held on to for forever. You know, like even when prices were higher, you might have won a card that was like a 30 quid card, and you think, well, I'm not selling that rare for 30 quid. I'd snap arms off for a 30 quid rare now. It's like the way it's gone. We've been bleeding for a little while. But yeah, you know, things can change, as you know. We were speaking off air about the product feeling like it's maybe ready now. It's been ready for a little while, hasn't it, in terms of marketability, but you're not going to market a product like this when you're trying to onboard like FPL players until the upcoming. I don't think many FPL players understand that this is a week-to-week game and not a season long. So they might be a little bit more inclined to have a little look at it in the closed season and sign up for it for next year. So maybe we do see the marketing push now, but then, you know, I think Premier League cards have been relatively buoyant, haven't they, compared to a lot of the other divisions, maybe because of the in-season tournaments and obviously like the interest.
They have their own division. Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see if that kind of helps La Liga and Bundesliga next season, because we're going to get those opening up, aren't we, in August too?
Yeah, I do think so. I think like the seasonality of everything can, like, to tie into what you're saying there in terms of like the barriers and whatever, what we were chatting about before we came on, like the number one thing that Soria's always kind of had going against it, there's like, to just run through the history of it like we did before we came on, but like, you know, the whole crypto thing, how to deposit, how to withdraw, the actual mechanisms to onboard and offboard, you know, cash withdrawals are very new in the grand scheme of things. And then you've got player availability, goalkeeper pricing, blah, 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 all sorts of stuff over the years as they've like had wins along the way. There's always been something that's kind of stopped them. But one of the number one things that has stopped them is they've never really had a new season launch, you know, where it's like, get ready for the new season. And da-da-da-da, you know, they know they've got all the ducks in a row. They know all the clubs are there, all the cards are there, the divisions are there, that kind of thing. Because if you just want just to go back to what you said there on FPL players or whatever, but the mindset to do something like this is beginning of the season, you know, that's the mindset, you know, because otherwise you're trying to get people to do something kind of out with normal habits or out, you know, or, which isn't impossible, obviously, but you're just, people are way more susceptible to, oh, maybe I'll play that this season, you know. Yeah. At the beginning of season, in the pre-season, in the transfer window, during the Euros, you know, this kind of thing, because everyone's just a wee bit more like, oh, what's going on this season and that kind of vibe. So I think that's a huge kind of difference in the barrier. And to, again, bring it into what you directly said there about like Bundesliga and La Liga. Like, I've been saying on this channel, we've both been saying on this podcast since the new versions of the competitions were like announced or unveiled, that Classic is just going to be a Royal Rumble every week. It is going to be mad. And you need to get every edge you possibly can with like XP on cards, collection bonus on cards, etc. And I do think that what we've seen with the Premier League in terms of like with Charlie Dunbar quite famously with Newcastle, Pranksy with every card under the sun, and, you know, some Aston Villa stacks, you know, we've seen that those stacks appear in the division, you know, when they do beat somebody 4-0 and they bring in 500 points, depending on scarcity or whatever. So how many of them are in La Liga? Not that many, I don't think. I think La Liga, SO5-wise, is like it's quite close to MLS in a roundabout way, where there's like a guy who takes sets, or a striker that'll get 15 goals a season, or a good defence, or something like that. But Bundesliga is a bit more like Bayern, Dortmund, Leipzig, Leverkusen, and then there's always another one or two that are dangerous and handy as well. I think Bundesliga will take some bigs because of Kimmich's and Kane's and that kind of thing. They've also got Real Madrid and Barca in Spain, right? But I don't feel the same like leaderboard dominance, especially from Barca, coming from Spain, but as you do from Germany on times, because it's Leverkusen and Bayern this season, but are generally speaking Bayern. But Dortmund, you know, have players that just, I don't think they're as stacked, you know, in general terms, because they haven't always been SO5-wise that appealing. And Leipzig, kind of the same, because their squad turns over so often, it's hard to really like build in with them, you know, because Xavi Simons is only on loan, for example, you know. So so I think when those divisions open up, like, it will definitely relieve a bit of pressure on Champion, but I don't think it'll be quite as much, because I don't think the Spanish element really dominates the Champion leaderboard now anyway, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like you said, with Barca, they're not being like dominant, have they, this season at all. And likewise in the Bundesliga, I think, you know, Bayern have had, by their own standards, a pretty poor season, really, to like finish it the way that it has. They were unlucky, obviously, last night against Madrid. Well, say how you see it. I don't know. Was that luck? Was that just Madrid doing their usual? I don't know. But yeah, they'll be disappointed, obviously, with how this season's finished up for them. And you'd expect them to strengthen again next season. So maybe we'll be back to their old tricks next season, running away with the division come Christmas. But I think if Leverkusen can keep hold of as many players as possible, they'll be able to go again. You know, we know Alonso's sticking around. So if he can keep hold of some of the players, there's no reason they can't go again. They're only a few games away now, aren't they, from a completely unbeaten season. And you wouldn't bet against them the way they've been playing. You know, they're even managing to get good results with fully rotated teams out in the Bundesliga at the moment. So, that's been difficult for me, trying to pick my teams on the weekends with the Leverkusen players. But, yeah, like you said, I'm sure that will take cards out. But again, I think like Champ is the one division, isn't it, where it's not as much of a Royal Rumble, because I don't think the supply is quite where it is in, say, like Contender, where we've got J-League, K-League. Obviously, I think that might be why like the MLS and the Eredivisie and Belgium are like specifically in Challenger, and maybe not in, like, none of those are in that Contender pool, because I think that Contender pool could get really crazy if we had divisions in there that have been minted for like 4 or 5 seasons. Yeah. And obviously got K and J League in there, but yeah, it's going to be really interesting for me anyway. One thing I really dislike about putting my lineups together at the moment is how many of my cards go unused. It's annoying that I'm holding so many cards that like won't even go into training, or are just sat there doing nothing in my gallery, and maybe ain't even there because I'm not big on the collections either. They're not even there for collection reasons. They're there barring maybe 2 or 3 cards. I don't really hold any cards in my gallery as like collector pieces or, you know, collection bonus boosters. So it's going to be interesting for me, particularly like how engaged and how good the sort of special weeklies are. And if we can expect those on weekends as much as we are obviously going to see them in the midweeks. So, I don't know about you, but I listened to the So Rare Ramble in the week, and they had Guy and I think it was Brian on from, was it Brian and Guy? I don't know, but a couple of guys from football product team at So Rare came on and kind of discussed. They couldn't discuss too much in detail, as you know, from if you've ever listened to any of the So Rare sort of team members, they have to be careful about what they say on these podcasts, but they seem pretty optimistic. I just wanted to touch on one of the points made in the chat about, and we've already touched on it, that sort of pre-season launch going into the new season. But that was one of the things they picked up on. Obviously, a lot of people are asking, are we going to have cards ready for like game one of the new season? And they definitely came across quite confident that they've got measures in place to have that there. So hoping we get some more communication about that. But I would imagine, right, for me, when you think about it, a lot of teams will do their press day, do their photos for, you know, those photos that we get for our so rare cards are pretty much the same ones that go on the kind of green screen pre-match lineups that you see on Sky Sports. Yeah. And stuff. So they'll get sent out. And then obviously we have the deadline day right up to the end of, what is it, beginning of September or something like that. And you'd imagine that any players signed in that window almost have like their own little press day, like separate from the whole team. Just when they turn up, they get there. So surely that would mean that at least we can get the majority of teams' cards minted. And then there'll be a kind of new faces come like the end of the transfer window, maybe a few weeks after it. But there's no reason in my head that they shouldn't. Because if Sky Sports can have the images ready for match day one for the lineups coming out on TV, then So Rare should already be able to do that. Because you'd like to think, right, that these cards, whatever they're going to look like next season, the base design of those cards should already be done now, really, shouldn't it? Or should be pretty much done. Like, we know what the font looks like, we know what the card design looks like, we know what the shape and patterns look like. And then it's just a case of dropping those PNG files of the footballers in the middle of it and changing the lettering. And I mean, a lot of that lettering and changing of numbers and stuff is probably done inside a giant spreadsheet. But yeah, it will probably take a graphics guy to place each individual photo correctly and then hit save. And then they're away from there. So yeah, you'd like to think that it's doable. I know a lot of people seem to think that we shouldn't expect it, but I think we should. I don't think there's any excuse for it not being ready, personally.
I think that's definitely what they'll be working towards. And yeah, let's hope it all kind of rolls out well. I heard on Sorare Data again, they were talking about this kind of thing in terms of release of cards and all that kind of stuff. And I think it is one of the most interesting parts of, you know, the plan of attack they've got into the new season. Because, yeah, for all levels, new season competitions will only be populated by people that buy cards on match day one, you know. And match day two is basically going to be the same, minus a few reward winners, depending on how many cards you scoop out of Classic, copy and paste and dilute it for the next month, and then just kind of in the season flow as it is, you know. So, yeah, it will be kind of interesting to see how it goes. 2 points again from the chat. Like, I'm not saying La Liga cards don't bang or can't bang, or, you know, half stacks could work as well. Of course, there's some good shouts here for Sociedad and half bet stacks and stuff like that. But I'm just saying, like, generally, like, the impact that will have by giving that division out in terms of taking away power out of champion. Like, Real Madrid do have stacks that bang. You do see them happen, you know. But, yeah, it's just like you just don't have that same resonance on that leaderboard, I don't think, with those cards as you do a lot of the Bundesliga ones for some reason, you know. Maybe it's just frequency of kind of smashing, you know, as much as the actual ability to. But in terms of like a lot of stuff we're kind of talking about now, so it kind of all does jump around card utility, card pricing, that kind of stuff. One of the things that, in terms of like for me, like I've been buying a bunch of Celtic cards over the last like month or two just to fill out collection bonuses. And just, again, like, it's not just for collection bonuses, but I'm playing four Celtic rare lineups and I've got all sorts of combos running, you know, and that's kind of the game in a roundabout way. You know, if you are backing one team, like if you think, oh, Celtic are going to smash, Real Madrid are going to smash or whatever, that is the optimal situation, is being able to play as many configurations as possible to make sure that, you know, well, I don't know which defender's going to hit 80, but one of them will. So let's get them across a few teams. And this striker's definitely getting 70. He's fine. And then, yeah, between these three midfielders, two of them will bang and then make a few kind of thingies of them. And I think, like, shopping at the moment is kind of weird, right? Because, like, for me anyway, collection bonus is a big focal point. So I'm trying to buy primary market as often as possible. Some cards transfer, they stop getting issued. It's a bit of a different story. But this time of season's always been traditionally like 3 games to go, 4 games to go. It's always traditionally been a happy hunting ground for me to acquire cards, you know, the old Hendo move, where you can maybe get a card and maybe you're paying a little bit, you know, like I'm looking at a Joe Hart I paid £28 for. I think his floor's 23 or something now, right? But imagine you were to pay 28, you know, it's kind of like between now and the end of the season's clipping the, he's retiring, so you need to clip the whole thing back, you know, because there'll be no more after this. But in general principle, you know, whatever the drop-off is in terms of if you've maybe skipped on a little bit more just to get a good fixture to activate a team to go into champ or under 23 or whatever it is trying to clip that before the season ends. And then there's a card you can chill on, get and get ready for next season with, you know, I've got that goalkeeper banked in, or I've got that captain choice banked in. Because this time of year, and again, I'm using this example as if there's some sort of little premium attached to it. Maybe with an in-season card there is, but traditionally that's not been the case. And this is normally the time where we find this end of season dip where people look at cards and think, oh, he might move, he's getting relegated, or he'll be crap next year, or I don't want him anymore. Just trying to get those ones in, and you kind of get to have your cake and eat it this time of year with some targets. If you can really stay across, like, it's not just about opening the market, is it? And just like jumping on and looking around and going, oh, buy that guy, you know, just because he's cheaper than he normally is. That's not really the process. The process is looking for like top guys you want, and or you know, guys that are maybe just without reach and waiting for them to come within reach. And then it's like, oh, cool, I can now get one of him, you know, beforehand he was 5 times out my budget for a midfielder, but now because I won a guy and I saved a wee bit and then that dip happened, boom, we bring him in, you know, kind of thing. So that's more the kind of angle this time of season. And when prices are coming down for a few different reasons, I do think there's a bit of classic fear maybe going around recently, which anyone who subscribes to this channel, we've been talking about this since it got bloody unveiled, that classic is going to be unforgiven. And you can't be one or the other. I think more people are coming to this kind of realization where don't think you will be a classic or an in-season player exclusively. You kind of do need to live in between the two of them to some extent, you know, I think. And that'll be really felt at the beginning of the season. But, yeah, I'm kind of running out of breath now, Stish, so I'm going to stop talking.
I was going to say, you touched on Joe Hart there, and obviously he's retiring at the end of the season, but you're talking about picking his card up and that. Something that just struck me recently, and I wanted to pick your brain on it, was this time of year for me is always like you said, like time to dip into the market, try and get ahead of any good moves for cards or even potentially like cash in on a player you think might move, get a bad move. You know, like a lot of us maybe holding, I think Grimaldo's probably all right because he's of international pedigree and he's going to win stuff and whatnot. But Grimaldo would be an example that maybe in previous seasons where he's had a great season and then maybe gets a move to like Liverpool and then just like becomes a rotation player. And it's like players like that, you get two or three of those every season, didn't you? I'm trying to think now, you know, like this time last year, it would have been Gift Orban when his cards got minted and it was like he'd scored like in 8 games in a row at Ghent and Ghent. And then, you know, he moved and hasn't been quite as useful this season, has he? So there's loads of examples of players like that. But with the market I think the difference between normally we have like a seasonal dip, which is a classic, just like this is purely down to the end of the season come in. We kind of know what's happening in a few weeks' time when seasons start to kick back up again. I think this year is different because not only do we have that seasonal dip, we've also got that like uncertainty of, you know, not just the new game modes, but also, you know, cost of living. People haven't got that expendable income, even though with the cards going down less. And you could argue that this is the best time that anyone's ever had to get on board with the game. I think you could probably buy a rare lineup now for less than 100 quid and have like subs and everything. But have you been approaching this upcoming closed season the same or differently to how you've done previously?
Nah, I don't think so. I think it's kind of the problem is like I've seen this to the members because I'll be coming. This is kind of technically now my 5th season we're getting into, depending on what football calendar you run on. It's 5 seasons of MLS cards on Soria. Can you believe that? Maybe more now, actually. Maybe it's 6. I lost count. But no, it's for me, it's always about like I'm always trying to move myself on kind of all the time, and then it's just watching the developments happen, and then it's kind of okay, well, I was doing this, now it's not completely in line because things have moved a little bit. How do I get what I'm doing back in line and making those changes? I think I'm kind of all but done. I've enjoyed a wee bit of the super rare dip that's happened and been able to pick up some quality guys like over the last, like for most of this year, you know, it's May we're at the now. I've managed to get some real high quality depth in a few places. I'm not quite as well rounded as I would maybe want to be. There's maybe one or two spots left, but But yeah, I think like when it comes to the actual off season this time for Europe, like I'll have American cards to play for cap modes or for whatever happens in the summer. And again, probably similar to last year, I probably won't expand on that too much or go too hot or heavy for it. I think I've said enough times like that. I've paid so much for that New York collection that it's just going to every fucking game week it can until the end of time. that's just the way it is at the moment for that. So I don't think I'll be doing anything too crazy. Because like I think what people should be looking to do or thinking about in terms of like their gallery and their teams or whatever is quality of lineup for 1, 2, and 3, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like at the moment I've kind of, if the fixtures line up right, I've probably got one good champ rare lineup, for example. But I've got depth that if you wrote it down on paper, you think, oh, maybe there's two teams here, roughly. But again, it's quite fixture dependent, quite injury. Some of them are quite injury prone players, and one or two other pieces. But I've already got Vasilj like getting promoted to be the second keeper for that team almost. So I think like the balancing act can be quite tricky because adding a keeper on and the players that they're going to take into a division, if they're like cap 220 guys, like what's the point? If you know what I mean. So yeah. It's kind of like, again, it kind of ties into the scoring thing that was mentioned earlier. Like people will want more smashers. It's kind of building team one up to be as good as possible. And then the guys that get relegated out of D1 that weren't maybe, not D1, but team one. There were maybe team one guys. Well, they're definitely a team two guy and they'll be comfortably a team three guy for you. You know, yeah. It's kind of that evolution of building team one better and better. So I think that's the main thing to be interested in. Like we mentioned with the dip, it's not just looking around and going, oh, all these guys are a fiver or something. It's just, it's waiting for a guy who's never been a fiver. If we're talking about limiteds or whatever. Now he is a fiver all of a sudden. It's like, oh, wow, cannot believe this has happened. And, been waiting for that guy to come into my team for ages. And I thought I was going to have to pay £20 or £15 or whatever he is. I don't know. So yeah. That's kind of the off-season thing to go for. And I don't think I really need too much of that.
I wanted to pick straight into something that's been brought up in the chat, and it was something that you and I had spoken about off air. It was like, we've got to talk about that. And obviously, talking about selecting teams, you know, getting things into cap mode, all that kind of stuff. Obviously, getting your teams together, if you've got like a larger gallery especially, is quite tasking, isn't it? And this week, I believe it was this week, it feels, well, we definitely haven't spoken about it on the podcast, but PlaySharper announced, didn't they, that they are going to be closing their doors. They seemed a little bit pissed off that SoRare didn't step in and help out. So we're getting a little bit into that. But also, before we get into whether or not SoRare should step in for a product like that from a third party, how difficult do you think it's going to be? Like, I've definitely noticed it already, how like I've almost forgot what I used to do pre-PlaySharper. Going, you know, scouring Twitter and various websites for lineup info. I know you've used Football Fantasy before on La Liga lineups, and sportsgambler.com is another one I've used for others, but it's not quite as, it's all right for injuries and suspensions, but not much else. How much do you think we're going to miss PlaySharper, and what, if any, like tips do you have for anyone listening that maybe is feeling a little bit lost going into this weekend game week, trying to figure out where to find out that information?
I think it's one of those ones where I definitely agree. PlaySharper does a lot of heavy lifting. It does a lot of heavy lifting and made things so much easier. We did always curse it when it was let us down, but, you know, so can't forget that. But I also remember when it very, maybe the first like 3 months or 6 months or first season or whatever, I kind of hated using it a little bit because I felt that, especially the ones that would go against me, I wouldn't play a guy and I thought, oh, do you know, I fancy him to play. That's really weird that he's not on. And then he does play and then he does smash. And you're like, oh, I could have used him. I would have used him if I'd never, you know. So I think that's a part of the game I've enjoyed, or I do enjoy, is my intuition, is my, you know, I follow the team. I catch most kind of press conference, at least the bites that come onto Twitter. Sometimes I will go on and, you know, listen to them myself. Sometimes just depending on how, what the information is that I need or the sense I want to get from a manager. So it's, yeah, I'm looking at it again this week and I've been deleting teams and rebuilding them. And I think like it's not really hit me as hard as maybe it would with somebody who's got like every region covered, teams everywhere, goalkeepers everywhere. You can play everything, do whatever you want. I think those people have just been dropped into a world of hurt, you know.
That's me. That's
yeah. But like, if you look at, I'll just put this on screen now, like just for 2 seconds, right? But this is kind of really the only teams I need to look at, like really, and it's not even really that accurate. I'm not looking at Valencia or fucking Kawasaki or anything, but it's kind of Celtic, Girona, Sociedad, like New York. If I look at, if I just make sure those four teams are tight, then is there anyone else hiding down here? I don't think so. It's just a few. I also have got lots of isolated guys as well beyond that. But as long as I know what the Girona team is, what the Celtic team is, Sociedad in New York or so, like I can get most of my teams out pretty strong. And then it is just running down an individual. Like, is this guy back from injury? Will the manager rotate the midfield? You're just looking for one wee piece of info rather than, like I say, if you've got like 500 cards, you're looking for that one piece of info for every position, if that's the way you play, you know, in every team, in every region. And some of them play together, some of them are nowhere near each other. And yeah, definitely going to be a world of hurt for some people. But I think, I said to you, Stish, I thought if we were talking about this topic, it's knowledge is power, is the cry, you know. So it definitely, like, again, I don't think I'm not really hitting much of a, I'm not losing much of a stride from it. I think Premier League, I need to get a few sources up for like Brentford and shit like that, you know, that I've never had to bother with, you know.
FPL website's pretty good for those, usually, for like predicted lineups.
They're actual official good. FPL, you're saying?
No, like there's a couple of sort of, I forget
third
what
parties.
There was actually, I'll shout it out. I looked on Twitter today and there is a user, and I think like Nicholas Julia might have retweeted it, but there's a user who's like started a kind of link tree page that has basically all the divisions, and it's just like click here, and some of them go to like a website. One of them's like a Bundesliga sort of fantasy website. One of them's a FPL kind of like third party tips website with all the predicted lineups on it. And then some of the other ones are like Eredivisie and stuff like that. And it goes to like a Twitter account with like So Rare Eredivisie or something like that, where they will put up lineups. So that has helped. Have a little look on Twitter for Nicholas Julia and see, because it was I'm pretty sure it was him who retweeted it. If it wasn't, I'll find it and I'll retweet it on the end product Twitter feed for anyone that's looking for it. But that was good just to try and find them, because I think that was the main thing I realized was, even though Play Sharper was like, it varied in like how reliable obviously the sources are based on how much the expert or so-called expert knows about the specific team that they're lining up for you, but it was all in one place, which was good, because then you could kind of peg it with all with a pinch of salt, but you didn't have 15 tabs open on Explorer trying to figure out which one to trust or whatever. But obviously we've still got predicted lineups in SoRare data, but I don't know about you. I never fully trust those until like literally minutes before the game week's about to start, because I feel like in the earlier stages of the week, it feels like a lot of kind of bot accounts are probably just copying and pasting the weekend lineup previous. And then it used to shift a little bit once the Play Sharper lineups went. A lot of the SoRare data lineups would kind of come to fall almost in line with what was on Play Sharper. So, I think it's going to be difficult for me, definitely, because I do play all those regions. I'm not a stacks guy. I like to kind of mix and match. Like, you know, maybe I'll play half a stack, like a defensive pairing and an attack pairing or something like that. But I have random players from teams. I'll have one player from one team, two players from another team. And yeah, some of those players are like quite important. So I will literally go to a lineup just to look and see if one guy is fit. And then if they are, that might even end up in one of my main lineups. In terms of MLS, obviously we've got like RotoWire still, that's pretty good. Premier League, you can do FPL websites. There's a lot of sort of third parties that do that. Beyond that, I can't think of any that stick out. I know I've seen you on Football Fantasy, which is the Spanish one, which is pretty good. That's like a community-based lineup builder where people can vote on what they think, and then it aggregates that into like what most people think, creates like the most popular possible starting 11. So it's pretty good for La Liga. And it looks pretty similar to Play Sharper and well, and like it gives it a percentage on based on rotation and, you know, all that kind of thing. So there are good stuff out there. But another thing I wanted to shout out and mention was, obviously there's a lot of those sort of Patreon accounts, isn't there, still, that will do lineups. And I think some of them got maybe nuked a little bit by Play Sharper, but now that kind of opens the doors for them to come back in. The only difference now is the amount of money that you can win and the likelihood of winning a decent amount of money or winning cards that are really valuable, I think it's a lot less than it was. So paying a fiver a month for, say, like, just to see if the, your 2 or 3 K league players are going to be in the lineup every week could like be a non-starter for a lot of players. Someone in the chat asked, how much do you think you would spend? I think I do sub to So Rare Japan. It's just one thing that I've kept going and it is pretty useful. He's obviously very much in touch with the lineups there. He's obviously got inside information as well. So sometimes you'll get a bit of injury information before anywhere else has it. And obviously the J League's quite hard to find information on in general. So I think services like that and the K League, likewise, I think my friend pays for a K League one. I'm sure we'll see a lot of these popping up. How many people in the chat, Quinny, maybe you can get a little vote going on it if you've got like your polls up, but how many people would pay £5 a month for a single league specific lineup help? I mean, I've got a lot of Eredivisie cards, but whether or not I pay a fiver a month for it, I don't know, because similarly to what you were just saying, most of my players are either at Ajax, PSV or Feyenoord. So I'm only really looking at that core three lineups, and I can do that in about 5 minutes versus little guys in Heerenveen and Almere and Vitesse and, you know, a lot of the other cards that I've got in those divisions, minus a couple at Heerenveen, and not super important to my lineups.
I think it depends on what it is you're paying for. Because like for the J and the K League, for example, you're paying, and like the guys in America were talking about there as well, like you're paying for a time difference, you're paying for a language barrier, you're paying for, you know, some other more obvious things, I think, when you go across the pond, as it were, or go into a different region altogether. But when it is like, if it is just like Feyenoord or something, like what is that person's source of information? Because if it's on the internet, you could probably find it as well, you know, unless there's like proper like fan accounts and stuff like that. I don't know where they get ITK info that's not on Twitter. Like, you know, there's definitely things to pay for. But the only thing I would say with Patreons and whatnot is just like, what are you getting, you know, like kind of thing? Is it somebody aggregating stuff for you? Then fine. But that's, you know, a different price to ITK, isn't it? Or barrier or a mad time difference. Like I say, I think it was Glenn Hoddle was talking about, that's a great thing to play sharper because of the time difference in America. Like you could just wake up and click and check quite easy, you know. So that somebody that paying to have that is going to be more valuable as an overall like complete thing that Play Sharper was versus like one league, if that makes sense. So it's because again, if it's that for one league and you've got three regions to cover and you've got a couple of clubs, that's how much, you know, when you add them all up. So I've got that post here as well. Sorry, I've just lost it, but I did have it. Here it is, at Mr. Bean So Rare.
That was the one.
And then you click on the link.
On the subject of Play Sharper closing, what were your thoughts on it? I'll share mine. I thought it was, it seemed a little bit, it came a bit unexpectedly. Maybe the people that do the lineups saw this coming, but I was a little bit surprised, to say the least, at the way and the manner in which it was announced. Was like, So Rare don't want to support this, therefore we are closing it. And I can kind of understand that there probably are costs involved, not just like financial, but obviously time. But the you know, the website itself is an aggregator for dozens of people to kind of just go in and fill their lineups in, as far as I'm aware. If I've got the wrong end of the stick and someone in the chat actually does the lineups, let me know. But I was under the impression that they can kind of go in and edit their lineups off their own back. They didn't need to like send it to a main administrator who did it all on their own. So there was a little bit of an air of expectancy, wasn't there? Like, oh, So Rare aren't going to pay for this, therefore we have to close it down, they don't see value in it, blah blah blah. However, I think, like, I get it, but then if you put yourself in So Rare's position, why would you pay for a something like that to exist when, you know, you have all these links and ties to the official clubs and the official leagues and stuff? If you as the core product are also giving lineup predictions and you get them wrong, can you imagine the shit that they would be causing for themselves every week if 90% of the people who put, like, let's say, like, Grimaldo last week was out of the squad for Leverkusen in their league game. What if Soria had him in the expected lineup, which, you know, most people would have had? I'm pretty sure Play Sharp had him in. Do you know what I mean? And most people, he's barely missed a game all season. So rotation hasn't been a big thing for a player like that. So you would expect him to play. And, you know, unfortunately this weekend he didn't. But what kind of can of worms does that open up for Sorare if their brand is attached to the service that offers the lineup prediction? I don't know if that's just like a grey area that they do not legally want to touch, but
I don't know if it's, I don't really know. I think it's as much of a thing of like business as much as anything. So like that, if you're paying people €2 to €3 per team, right? How many teams are on the website? I don't know. But what is the revenue model? Like, how is, when you are putting this together, how is it? I can't really say much more than that, because it's like, otherwise you're asking another company to basically install an external division, you know, a lineup predicting division that's outside the company, that any revenue it generates, it's probably not going to receive back in kind or anything like that, you know? So that's like, I don't know where to sit on it, but in terms of just when I hear that kind of chat, like supporting the business or something like that, it's kind of like, well, how much does that business cost? What money was it making? Like, why do they, like, if it was like completely voluntary and all the rest of it, it's support for the community in that regard. But if someone's trying to profit, if you know what I mean, someone's trying to build a business from it, then it's got to have some merit, I think. Like, what is, and again, I may be just talking out my backside, I don't know anything about PlaySharp or what they were up to, but just when I see this, like, you know, like, if you're an expert, you get paid €2. Most people, you sending that invoice, I don't even know how they would be doing it. I don't know, but like, you've got hosting for a website, I'm sure. You've probably got some graphics people to pay. You've probably got somebody else to pay or whatever. But in my experience of, you know, like, having a little, I guess, mini Sorare business in a roundabout way in terms of content creation or something, like, most people that get involved in it together are Sorare players and are, like, doing it together anyway. So I don't think you're going out and hiring a, like, full-on web designer that you've never met before in your life and spending thousands on a website. And you're doing, you know, probably the guys that run PlaySharper are web designers, are guys that can just, like, do this anyway, if you know what I mean. So, as I say, I don't want to really, like, sit on one side of it or the other, but these are just the questions that jump into my head, you know, like, because like, Sorare Data is a little bit different because it's clearly got a revenue model of subscriptions, you know, like, you do a subscription, and so, and that's why they were able to, because I know Sorare Data comes into the picture a little bit with this as well, but Sorare Data went on and got funding, you know, they went and floated themselves and VC round, you know, and Sorare decide, I don't know, but I believe if they are, they decided to get in at that point or something,
they might have done, yeah, that might be where it comes from then, I guess.
I think that's the kind of thing that flies around in the circles and whatever, but that's not really the same as saying, like, is this kind of thing? So I don't know, it's a weird one. No one wants to see PlaySharper be the way it is in terms of going or anything like that. It didn't sit right with me, but that they done it Friday morning, you know, when people had submitted stuff, you know, like McBride did the team on Thursday on PlaySharper. I was on it Thursday night, you know, and, you know, they done it on that Friday for effect, 1000%, you know, and
yeah.
Well, like, whatever, man, you know,
like, the business model that, obviously, yeah, like, people in the chat saying as well, it looked like it probably ran on the ads that were running through the page, but I think I'd like to know how many users they think that they've got. Maybe if they've got, you know, you'd have to, let's say, like, let's say 5,000 to 10,000 people a week use it, like, and I think that's a conservative figure, right? There's a lot of people that play Sorare. Let's say 5,000 people a week use that. Would you pay a fiver a month for PlaySharper to have access to all of it? Would you?
I would definitely pay something like fiver a week. I would,
fiver a week.
I'm not even sure. I don't know why week came into my head there. Sorry, so I was thinking about how many times I use it a week and stuff like that. But I don't even know what it is for Sorare Data, but I would pay, I wouldn't pay as much as Sorare Data is, but I wouldn't pay too far off it, you know, in that regard.
I'd agree.
Like, in general, I don't actually personally need it, so I probably would only be paying for it to do the deadline show or whatever. Yeah. But because, again, like I mentioned before, like, Celtic team I'm kind of up on, and a few other things are easy enough for me to get my hands on. It's not too much of an issue. So, like, yeah, but again, it's just, I think as well, someone, I didn't realize this, some, I think it might have been Harry, but somebody said when they launched Play Sharper, they had a subscription model, but for like the NBA version, it was mental. It was like, it was funny money, you know?
Right. Cause I still get pop-ups about that when I visited the site, like they called it like NBA something, but it was like, yeah, they had a subscription model for NBA, which obviously I don't think there was enough money in it for people to warrant it. But football, you could argue that, you know, like people I know, and I paid like €5 a month for subscription for one individual league. So the idea of paying like a fiver to have what we had a couple of weeks ago, you know, if you can spread that across 5,000 people a month paying it, or let's say once it goes paid, let's just say like, let's say you even get 5K a month in. That would definitely sort out most of the people that do the lineups and cover all your overheads. And you'd probably have a bit of profit left over, in my opinion. I don't know. Like, I don't know what they earn from their click link, their links on their website. They've got lots of ads and pop-ups, haven't they? So they're getting paid off those as well. It's strange to me that they're, rather than try and figure out an alternative for the way that the model was working, they just threw the toys out of pram, was like, well, this ain't happening anymore. Like you said, if McBride didn't even know about it till the Friday, then none of them did. So it just feels a bit like knee-jerk reaction. They've just kicked the toys out of the pram a little bit, and hopefully they see sense. I think I mentioned on here a few weeks ago about like that app that I've been using called Farcaster, Warpcast, a bit like Twitter. That, imagine that, like, similarly, that is kind of a community where like the users of that community kind of like farm like a kind of tip balance. It's not working quite as good as it was a few weeks ago for anyone that did the amount that you get given to tip out now has come way down. They're trying to maintain the kind of integrity of the token and tokenomics and stuff. But imagine you did that for Play Sharper, where Play Sharper launched their own token or whatever and was like, you need to hold, as a subscription, you need to hold like 50,000 Play Sharper tokens in your wallet. When you've got that, you use, I don't know, 5,000 a month to pay for your subscription, but it also gives you like a tip balance of like 4,000 a month that you can tip back to the people who do the lineups. Because if you, let's say the lineup helps, you go, yeah, sweet, that guy's lineup won me a fiver, I'll tip him like some of my tokens that I get given for being a subscriber or whatever. That just then allows Play Sharper it to stand away from even like the payment structure. If there's a way that those tokens are some, by some means, like almost like a share of the overall revenue that the business creates in a month, then the people who create the lineups that are doing a really good job of it are getting tipped by the user base that want to keep them on board. Therefore, they're encouraged to keep doing the lineups, but also to make sure that they're good as much as possible and up to date. And it allows the owners of Play Sharper to kind of just sit back and let some kind of smart contract do the hard work for them. And that's kind of like how that Warpcast app works, is like people are on there, they're incentivized to engage on the platform and post things that are of interest and get engagement. The more comments and likes and things, shares you get on that platform, the more your tip allowance goes up, the more that you then allowed, you know, the more your tip allowance goes up, the more likely people are to engage with you again, because they will hope that you might tip them. And the way that that worked, quite interesting for a product like this. I could see a model like that working for it, which would allow them to maintain themselves without having any exterior involvement from SoRare. It would just literally be the creators of the app itself and all of the people who contribute to the lineups taking a little slice of whatever it earns that month.
Simply, Alex is saying here that they were doing $2.99 a month. Was I the only one paying it? I'm going to say probably, because I didn't know they did it. And number two, what did you get for your money? Like,
yeah, was it? We just removed the ads, right? That we reached the ad-free version.
People keep telling me to do that.
I'd
get an ad blocker.
If they give the option now, then they should. Like, they've taken it away for a week. What better opportunity now than to come back and be like, right, guys, we've listened to all your feedback, everyone wants it back.
The horse has bolted, man. Everyone has been out on Twitter trying to set up a
I've seen, yeah. You know,
So, so there's about three of them ready to pop, I think. Three of them are ready to go for it. So, yeah, the horse has bolted. Play Sharp ever dropped the ball, I think, on this one. And, you know, just a little side note, because I know he listens to the show, friend of the channel, of course, friend of the community, Andy Laird. I did think, like, listening to him talk about it in terms of Surya Data's perspective on, like, maybe going to try and scoop these guys up, I don't know, I thought it was maybe a wee bit naive, maybe an opportunity missed, because, like, there's basically a infrastructure already there. If you could have just somehow quickly corralled them and, you know, and just gave them, I think I said it on one stream, you probably heard me saying it, but, like, just give them their own button, you know, for their team. Like, the golden selection.
Uh-huh. Yeah, exactly, so, right. When you go into that fixture, you could get the sort of, like, the community guess, or you can click, like, a button to get, like, the professional, like, this is, you know, like McBride's predicted lineup. And
I think you would only want a community one to come into if it was in conflict, if I was to nitpick. Because see, if it's uniform, then why, who cares? You just have it as golden. It's set to go, you know. But if it's like, guy says aye, and then 40% of people say, don't know about that, then maybe that's something. But I did think, like, sorry, I could have just swallowed it up, because they did try and do this before they moved to the model they've got now. There was also the infamous Play Sharper Surya Data war that we all remember back in the day. I thought that was maybe an opportunity missed. But I do think, like, again, Andy Laird did a great job of explaining the Surya Data lineup projection thing. You mentioned it earlier, like, the closer to the deadline, the better is the mantra. And I wasn't completely aware. I kind of thought logically it's going to be more accurate towards the deadline, because people will put in more accurate data closer to the deadline just by knowing it. But I didn't actually realize until recently the adjustments that Surya Data do. So, the morning of the deadline, like, I would love the lineup prediction thing on Surya Data to be, like, testament, to be biblical, you know, in that regard, where it's like, if you see it there 100%, and then you know. But it does just feel, see, because anyone could just fuck with it. Like, you know, like, it's just maybe got a wee bit, I don't know, a wee bit of room to be abused or neglected, perhaps, or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just, it was something about it that made me feel like, when you're looking at the Surya Data, when you're not 100% sure if this is just, like, the common idiot kind of, like, we are trying to win a card at the end of the month versus, you know, going on to the Celtic lineup on Play Sharper and seeing McBride, who watches them every week, kind of have his input. And that goes for any club on there, you know, like, going to the comments, and there's a lot of good comments in there about, you know, so-and-so hasn't been seen in training this week or blah, blah, blah. And it's like, you don't get that on Surya Data. You just get the percentage. You don't get any insight into why is that percentage low? Whereas if you're on Play Sharper and Rayan Cherki's at 80%, you think, oh, why is he expected to start this week? And then you go into the comments and it'll be like, so-and-so limped off in a cup game in the week and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, right, that's the context that you don't get on Surya Data. And, you know, that is another part of the reason that looking at Play Sharp was always just felt a little bit more close to correct for me. Nanzo said, obviously, in there that he would pay £5 a month subscription. I'm sure a lot of us would have supported it. I think I would pay a fiver a month for it, personally. If everyone went back to what they were doing before, I'd happily pay fiver a month to have the information we had. Definitely.
Yeah. The comment section, I kind of liked it, to be honest with you, for the most part. Some of the banter in it was funny. People, obviously, they're totally detached. Like, why is this guy not playing? It's just kind of funny to see some things. But some of the experts would put some nice little detail in there, like, you know. So I liked a lot about it. We sorely missed, but knowledge is power now, you know. So I do feel like coming into this week, like, I'm quite quickly got back into some old habits of jumping onto some press conferences and trying to catch actual words that managers say and stuff like that, and try and see what's going on. And some of these sources that we've mentioned already, that Mr. Bean one's fantastic. But like I say, you mentioned the word aggregator earlier on, like, that's all Play Sharper kind of is in a roundabout way. Most of those people on that are Surya community members. They're not club officials. They're not ITK accounts necessarily, you know, like Fab Rom or some, you know, like that kind of vibe, you know, they're all Surya community members. So where does their intel come from? You know, it's probably there to be found. It's just time, translation, sources, da 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 da, all the rest of it. And again, like, I know from being a Celtic fan, like, you just know stuff being in on ground zero, that it doesn't permeate into news and into interviews and, you know, that kind of thing, if you know what I mean, like if a player's good or not, or liked or disliked, or, you know, that kind of thing. Like, I remember when I was in London meeting people for this, I think it was this, the first like one that Nellis put on, the London meetup that we'd done.
Oh yeah, I was there.
And I remember we were in the pub afterwards. I'm sure it was, it may have been the first time I met Feda, or it may have been somebody else, but I can't remember. But we were, it was four of us in a pizza, kind of tequila pub place. And I was with somebody I knew. I'm sure it was Feda. I'm sure it was me and Feda, because it was an AC Milan fan that I knew, an AC Milan fan I didn't know. And then maybe like, I don't know, maybe you or Harry or somebody else I kind of knew, if you know what I mean. But the chat we were having, I think AC Milan were on track to win the title or something. And the out of that chat, like, I didn't realise, what's the right back's name? Is it Calabria? Like, they were just telling me about how Calabria is like AC through and through, and the fans love him. And even though he's not like a world-class right back or anything like that, but he's like Milan through and through, and he's like one of the fans, is, you know, he's one of them on the pitch kind of thing. Ever since I'd heard that from an AC Milan fan, I've never like been surprised to see him in a team anymore. Let's just say, right, you know, whenever I see him there, I'm like, okay, well, he's playing right backs and whatever. Yeah. And, you know, I would, without that conversation or without that kind of ground zero exposure, just looking at lineups, you would look at it, why are AC Milan playing Calabria? Why don't they play this guy there? Or why don't they do this? Or why don't they sign someone? You know, because as an outsider, you do just look at it at surface level and stats and who's cool and who's young and who's not. And, you know, so, yeah. I think knowledge is power is definitely the buzzword I want to throw at you.
Yeah, I like it. You mentioned the game week ahead. Anything in particular that you're going to be deploying? Any lineup? Have you had a chance to get into your lineups yet? Is there anything that you're really looking at?
The obvious one, Stish, I need to go all the way back to the beginning of the chat here, but the obvious one is it's the Glasgow Derby this weekend. I will be going to it. And Jay was asking when you're coming. You came to a derby, wasn't it? You were up for a derby.
No, I came to Champions League. I was at the Athletic Championship. Great game. Good result. Brilliant game. But
yes, we need a derby visit for sure then.
I definitely need a derby visit. But, you know, like, it might not be the same anymore from my understanding, where, like, you don't get the away fans in anymore. Is it still?
No. From next season, the league has got, like, something in place where I think it's 5% of the stadium mandatory has to be allocated for away fans or something, so that's changing as of this season, so it'll be better next year. You're probably timing it quite well.
I'll be looking out for the fixtures then, like, we 100% have to do that next season. I'll get myself a retro Celtic shirt ready for it.
That's it. And Girona play Friday night, which means getting team information and all the rest of it before the deadline is going to be way easier. So they're the two elements of the game week I'm quite excited about. Sociedad, who have been a wee bit of an adopted SO5 team in recent months, are playing Barca. It's kind of like that could be a good SO5 game, you know, potentially. It could be crap. We do have that was right from the beginning of the chat, sorry, but yeah, a bit of midweek action. We'll see if Villa make it to a European final. And I'm just making sure, because the chat was all over the place there for a second. But yeah, that's pretty much the size of it for me. I'll be going to the game. And I think Thiago's in town as well, so that'll be fun. I'll get to see him again. Nice. And I'll be swinging for the fences. I put a little post out the other day saying, like, you know, All-Star obviously will be going soon. There's only three games of the season left for Celtic. So that Celtic super rare collection with a unique McGregor, it's got three matches left to go. They're finally all playing. They're finally all in a bit of form, you know, with Hitate back, Maeda's loving life, and Kyogo's kicking ass again. So it feels like a wee bit of Last Dance vibes for that strategy in the All-Star setting, you know. So that's kind of the size of it for my weekend. What about you, mate?
I'm continuing to target Cap 240 Super Rare, but I'm finding it quite difficult this week just because of some of my cards have, like, found themselves in, like, quite high L15s, which... that means that, like, I've either got, like, really good players or really bad players, and not a lot in the middle at the moment. Like, I haven't got any of those dependable AA scorers, but I'm kind of hoping I'll be watching keenly tonight the Leverkusen game, because I think that if Kosunu Odilon is likely to start on the weekend, which I think he will, I think he'll start the weekend after the Roma game tonight, then he might allow me to squeeze in maybe like Jesus Ferreira, who played a half. up front for Dallas. They're at home to Austin the weekend, and I think he should be back in the starting lineup. He did really well when he came into the game last time, and hopefully he'll get a few more minutes this time around. But fancy him for a decisive. My strategy always with Cap 240 is which goalkeeper's keeping a clean sheet and which striker's most likely to score, and then the rest of it try and fit in around that. Because if you can get two decisives, I find you're already in a really good spot. And then if you've got three players who, you know, someone might have a potential decisive in them, then I might shoot for that middle, that 400 target in Cap 240 super rare. So at the moment, my team looks okay, but I'm not liking the percentages on SoRare data. Going back to that point we were talking on earlier, it's like, why is Ferreira only at 77%? I fancy him like more likely than that to start personally, but I'll be keeping a keen eye on lineups, any kind of updates on the MLS sites. RotoWire has him to start. That is normally a pretty good indicator. And like I said, he looked sharp in his last game, so I'd expect him to start this time around. And yeah, just like Odilon. And I think I've got Gabriel Florentin at home against Locomotive as a potential captain there. So yeah, I'm going to be shooting for that 400, hopefully, come the weekend, once all of that information becomes a little bit more crystal. But Cap 240 Super Rare is going to continue to be like my home run shot. I think between now and August, I'm just going to try and nail it as much as possible. Even in the midweeks, maybe, you know, with those four-man teams where you could try and scrape the bottom end of the threshold. But yeah, I think that's it. That's my game plan between now and August, is stack as much ETH as possible and then see where the market lies for the new season cards and work out, is it worth getting in a couple of players for new season for the beginning of the season or not? And yeah, until then, everything's up in the air, but cap mode, just going to keep hitting that. And yeah, I think I've got a good looking potential all-star super rare lineup, similarly to you, with, you know, like the high scoring cards that just won't fit in those cap modes. I think I've got, as it stands, Veerman and O'Reilly together in the lineup. Veerman,
smash.
Should smash. Don't think they'll rotate him, even though they've won the league now. O'Reilly at home against Rangers. He's picked up a decent bit of run of form the last few games, managed to scrape a bit back amongst the decisive. So yeah, and then I've got Tukovin up front, who's been on fire this season for Dinamo. Rafael with a AAA fixture in goal. And then Jeremy Mello at Tenerife, who's been on good form again lately. So yeah, I think that's currently 81 rated, that lineup. So I think I'll be throwing that in most likely.
No, well, look forward to getting back next week for a bit more. See, a bit more of that end product, Stishy Boy. Hopefully we're swinging for the fences and we're landing some home runs and all that good stuff. But yeah, that's pretty much all we've got time for this week, guys. Thanks to everyone that has joined the live recording of this on YouTube. If you're listening on Spotify and all those other good places, don't forget to follow, like, share, retweet, whatever it is, all that good stuff. And yeah, Stishy Boy, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate.
Always a pleasure. Never a chore, Quinny. I'll see you again next week, mate.